I'd like to ask you tonight to turn in your Bibles to the very brief epistle that Paul wrote to a man named Philemon. Philemon is right after the book of Titus, right before the book of Hebrews. The book that we don't think about too often. It's one of Paul's letters that's rather unique in its subject matter. It's one that he wrote to an individual and to his household. And it deals with something that in many ways today we don't think too much about, because it actually deals with the subject of a man who was a runaway slave. But yet it does deal with the subject that all of us are in need of and familiar with, and that is the subject of repentance and forgiveness. I want to ask you to look with me tonight at this book, Philemon, and I want to read just three verses. We'll talk about the book as a whole, but I want to read just the first three verses. But I would call your attention to a phrase in the second verse that will be our subject for this evening. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apophia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to ask your attention tonight, once we look at the context of the whole letter, I want you to think with me about the phrase that Paul uses as he writes to the household of Philemon, and he speaks about the church in thy house. Have you ever thought, folks, that all of our households have the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in them, if indeed our family members, our loved ones, have been born of the Spirit of God? The church is not just where we go on Sunday morning, but the church is wherever God's people are abiding together. There was a time when Paul went out to a place by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and there was a gathering of believers that came from there. There was a lady whose heart was opened, you know, at a place out by a riverside. Paul reminds us, and I think it's important for all of us in our homes, to remember that the Lord's church is in our house. And it ought to make us consider how we look at those who live within our household, within our family, how we treat them, and how we desire to be together. Paul wrote this epistle, if our understanding of it is correct, from prison in Rome. Paul wrote to a man named Philemon. He speaks of Philemon as being a fellow laborer. Now, that's a phrase that's often used as Paul addresses others, but he speaks of them in terms of that he was likely also a preacher. He was a minister of the gospel. And there was what we understand to be the mention of Philemon's wife, Apophia. That's a female name in the Greek. And her being right next to Philemon, it seems that Philemon's household, husband and wife. And there was another fellow servant, also likely to have been a preacher, is Archippus, or Archippus, depending on how you choose to pronounce it. It's understood that there's a possibility that that might have been a member of the a close member. It might have been a son. It might have been a brother. Might have been some other family member that lived there with Philemon. One of the reasons that it's thought that this is likely to have been addressed in a family situation was because of the subject matter, the primary subject matter of the letter itself. Paul obviously knew and was well acquainted with this family. It seems that if our understanding is correct, Philemon and his family were from the city of Colossae, which the letter to the Colossians was written. Archippus is also mentioned in that same letter to the Colossians. What I want you to see is that there was a particular need that was upon Paul's heart that brought him to write this letter. I say that with a full realization that the letter was written under the inspiration of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet there was a particular need that Paul was addressing. And that was the life of a man named Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave. Onesimus had been a slave that was owned and served in the house of Philemon and Apophia. He ran away. And you've heard the stories, and we're familiar with the stories and the history of our country, the subject of runaway slaves and why they left and how they were often treated. But you see, one thing about Onesimus, when he ran off, he made his way to the city of Rome, and he came to where Paul was imprisoned, and he was converted and baptized by Paul. And while he was a runaway slave by status, he was a fellow believer by new birth. Paul was writing and addressing this letter about this man, Onesimus, who had been very faithful in serving Paul. He had taken care of Paul. He had met Paul's needs. He had become a dear friend of Paul while Paul was in prison. Remember, he was imprisoned in his own house. He was basically under house arrest, but there were soldiers with him all the time. And he had liberty to have people come to him and for him to preach, but he didn't have the liberty to just go where he pleased. Onesimus had come and had given himself in service to God through serving Paul. But Paul understood that there had been a broken relationship. That was that Onesimus had basically violated a trust that had been placed within him. He might have been a slave, but he was working in the home. He ran away. Paul understood that before there could be an effective serving of all of them together, there had to be a mending of that broken trust. There had to be a forgiveness. This man, Onesimus, had been a slave. He was a believer. He had to be received by Philemon and his family as a believer and as a brother in Christ. Paul had to know that that forgiveness had taken place. And you see, folks, that's part of the great lesson of this whole book. And that is that our forgiveness or lack thereof determines the effectiveness of our worship and service together of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where there is an unforgiving spirit, where there is a broken bond, we can't just go on as if nothing had happened. And Paul understood that there was need that mending take place. And he wrote this letter and sent it back by Onesimus. Onesimus, if you might use our terminology, Onesimus showed up at the front door of Philemon and his family. And you understand that his running away affected not just Philemon, it affected the entire household. So that's why this letter was addressed to Philemon, Apophia, Archippus, and the church in thy house. You see, Paul understood that all of us are in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ by God's grace. The same way. It didn't make any difference whether it was a slave, or whether it was the slave owner, or whether it was a preacher somewhere else. If we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are brothers and sisters the same way by the grace of God. All of us can say that the same way. We don't have slaves today. We don't own people in our homes. It still happens in this world. Slavery is much more prevalent worldwide than we think of. Many people are still bound in slavery. But Paul sent Onesimus back to ask for forgiveness and to ask to be received. And Paul said, he's a very special man to me, and I ask you to receive him for my sake. Now, we're not told anything about Philemon's response, but the implication of the letter is that Paul expected Philemon to forgive and to receive and to restore. But what I want you to see is when Paul wrote this letter, he didn't just write it to one man. He wrote it to the church in thy house. Now, it is true that many times church congregations met in people's homes. They didn't have a separate building down on the block somewhere where they would meet three times a week. They show up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They didn't have the sign out on the front. They didn't have that kind of liberty, first of all, because of persecution from within the Roman government for a while. But they also didn't have that kind of possession. The church met in people's homes. Think for a minute. Do you remember in the book of Acts when Peter had been arrested and was being held in prison awaiting the completion of the Passover holiday and what we know now from a Christian perspective was the same time as what we know of Easter? The Lord freed Peter from that jail, broke his bonds, led him out while the guards were asleep, set him out and turned him loose. You remember where he went? There was a home which we understand was probably the home of Barnabas's sister. But he went to where the church was gathered together in prayer in her home. There was a young lady named Rhoda, who was one of the house servants there, who went to the door and recognized Peter's voice, and it scared her so bad she didn't even open the door. She ran and told the owner of the house. But there were those who met in the homes. The church often met in someone's home. You remember Cornelius? He called all his household together. And Peter came to preach to Cornelius and his household. What I want you to see is we think of the church today as a corporate body involving many households. But the image of the family is one of the ways the Lord would have us to think. It's not done nearly as much today as it was when I was much younger. But you hear still people here addressed as brother or sister. Well, that's the reason why there's that family relationship. But I'm convinced that in this letter, literally, Paul was addressing Philemon, his wife, and the members of his household as the church in their house. They were God's people. Philemon was a fellow laborer. Archippus was a fellow servant. Apophia, the wife, is referred to as being a dearly beloved, or our beloved Apophia. Paul understood them to be the called out body of believers. They lived in one household, but they were all called out by God's grace. Folks, I want to tell you, it's important for us tonight to understand in our homes that while we have husbands and wives and children, family members, one thing that God expects us to understand is that in those relationships, we are all called together in the blood of Jesus Christ. That makes households of Christian believers a little different than just family members who have no relationship to Jesus. Now, be honest. When you think about your family members, when I think about my family member, my wife, we're the only two in the house right now. We're in that empty nest time. But when I had a son and a daughter that were abiding at home with me, did I think in terms of how my behavior and my reaction and my actions toward them either mirrored my understanding of the church or made a mockery of my understanding of the church? See, one of the things about the Pharisees who talked a big game, Jesus referred to them as hypocrites. Why? Because he said one thing and did something else. If we don't understand that the believers in our house are all the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we treat the church on Sunday one way and our household a different way, then we've missed the point of what the body of Jesus Christ is in its most basic level. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that's a very familiar passage. But I want you to notice the language that's there. The word church that's used in this verse in Philemon translates from the Greek word ekklesia, the called out, where you get the word ecclesiastic, the ecclesia, called out, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, the children of God, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That last verse would come into play in Paul's presentation and argument to Philemon about Onesimus being received through the blood of Jesus Christ, that his forgiveness was given through the blood of Jesus. Well, folks, that's true of every blood-bought, spirit-born child of God. And when there are four or five or six that live together in a household, then that's the church called out together in our house. How do we view that church? You see, you go back into the book of Acts a minute, Acts chapter 10. I want to read just a few verses beginning in verse 30. This is the account that we're given about Peter, who was brought to the household of Cornelius. Now remember, Cornelius was an Italian centurion. He was a Roman centurion. He was in the land of Canaan, or in the city of Joppa. He was brought there from the Italian band. He was serving the Roman emperor there. But remember, he was a very faithful man, and God gave him instructions that there's a man called Peter over here in this other town. You send to him and he'll tell you what you need to do. And those servants went to Peter, and at the same time they were on their way to Peter, God gave Peter the vision of the animals that were being let down in the sheep. And he told that Peter there, he said, "What I have cleansed," and he told him it three times, "What I've cleansed, call not thou common or unclean." And what he was saying to him was, "Peter, you're a Jewish man. This fellow over here that I'm sending you to, he's an Italian soldier. But I work in his heart, and you can't diminish the value of that man." And Peter got the message. And when they told him what they had come for, he said, "We'll stay here tonight. We'll go tomorrow." Because it was already supper time that night. That's what Peter was up there. He was up on the roof waiting on supper to get ready when God gave him the vision. And he went the next day into the household of Cornelius. And look with me at Acts chapter 10. And let's begin reading at verse 30. Peter asked Cornelius about what had happened from his words. Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in God's sight.'" He's conscious of the good things that you've done, of your charity toward others. "Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee." In verse 33, "Immediately therefore I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all the things that God commanded of thee," or that are commanded thee of God. "I brought my family together." You see, he brought all of his kinfolks. I don't know how many there were. I don't know who all of them were. I have a good possibility there were siblings, in-laws, nieces, nephews, maybe a parent. I'm not sure. But all of the family were gathered together. And Peter looked upon all of them and he said, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." They were all of the same value in the blood of Jesus, and Peter approached it that way. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that's the same way that Paul approached the household of Philemon. There was the head of the household, there was the wife, there was Archippus, there were others in the household, and there were those roles and responsibilities that God had designed. Those were never denigrated or done away with. But the fact of the matter was that every one of them was bought in the blood of Jesus Christ and was to be addressed, treated, and spoken to as a child of God. And that's why when we think about the church in our house, we think about the fact that we're dealing with blood-washed, blood-bought spirit-born individuals. You know, we've got a cultural view about our family relationships. We've got a culture today that marks and views different generations within a family as adversaries. The old folks is against the young'uns, and the young'uns is against the old folk. We even have terms in which we speak. My old lady, my old man, rugrats. Our language misses the fact that every one of those, if indeed they're born of the Spirit of God, are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And they're to be treated and addressed and spoken to and thought of in the same way we treat people in the church. Now, it might be on Tuesday, it might be on Thursday afternoon. But the point is, the church was in their house, and the same way we were to treat people in the congregation is the way we're to treat and talk to and think about and desire to be with the people in our own homes. Listen to what I thought of in terms of some practical things about what that means. If Jesus has given himself for them, then am not I to love them in the same way Jesus loved them, him, her, them, the folks in our house? Am I not to give myself for their well-being and for their care and their keeping? If Jesus desires their fellowship enough to call them by his Spirit and bring them into his family, then ought not I desire their fellowship? You know, we fall guilty. I'm including myself in that list. I'm not standing up here pointing a finger saying y'all ought to do like I don't do as I do. Do as I tell you to. I can't go by that. But the fact of the matter is, we live in a pattern of living in our society, and very often in which we go 9 different ways, and we spend very little time together. And I'm afraid one of the things that we accomplish is we fragment the church in our house. We lose sight of the desire that we ought to have to be with one another because of the blood of Jesus Christ. If that person in my household was precious enough to Jesus for him to die on the cross of Calvary, then how precious ought they to be to me in terms of my spending time? That's true from parent to child. It's true from child to parent. It's true from one generation to the next. It's true from in-laws to outlaws to nieces and nephews. If they're part of God's family, then their fellowship with me, the time that I spend with them, and that's going to require the same thing that Paul was bringing to Philemon. What he was to enjoy. Paul didn't send Onesimus back in order to bind him in slavery, but neither did he send him back with a statement that says, now you need to let him go, take off, go do his own thing. Paul's word was that he was to serve in the household of Philemon as a fellow believer. And they couldn't serve without the binding of forgiveness. They couldn't serve without a repentant spirit. We can't serve as a corporate body if our families are fragmented. We can't serve effectively as a witness to Jesus Christ if we've got folks within our own household that we don't talk to or that they won't talk to us. We are, like Paul said, we are to forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. You see, folks, that little expression, when Paul said that he wrote to the church in their house, He wasn't just writing to a corporate body somewhere. He was talking to family members. And I would ask you tonight, how many of us think in terms of our family members being members of the body of Christ? And that how I treat them is how I'm treating Christ. You ever thought about that? I'm afraid I don't think of it enough. Because that's how precious everyone that's bought in the blood of Jesus Christ is. Well, my kids are all grown to God. Yep, they are. So are mine. But that don't change the fact that the way the Lord sees our family is an embodiment of His church. Do I see the church in my house that way? Do I treat the members of my household like I ought to treat Jesus Christ? Now, I don't know about you, but that's a rather poignant question to me. It's easy for us in the culture in which we live to get lost in that. But that's the first thing. Before Paul ever started telling Philemon about what Onesimus meant to him, Paul used that expression to remind that everyone of the household bought in the blood of Jesus was the church. The body of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, may we look at the church in our house. May we live like it's that important. May we desire the fellowship of one another. May we learn to forgive in the same way that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. May we come together as a stronger witness from our house into the corporate body and into the community in which we live. Church in our house. Lord, we realize that we are sinful people. We realize that we have difficulties in our own lives. We're not here as living in a vacuum. But Father, You've bought us in the same blood, and You've given us the same instruction. Dear Father, may we serve the church in our home with a mind and spirit the same way we would strive to serve the church, a corporate body. May our desires and our fellowship be a witness of our love for Jesus at home and wherever we are. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.